Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys with PremierGuitar.com. I'm hanging out with Mike from Incubus. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us and being so gracious with your time today. Can you talk to me about your guitar that you have over there, your main one that you're using currently?
This is a Music Man Albert Lee model that I picked up. Started playing these about a year and a half ago. Funny how I kind of came across these guitars. Ben, actually, the bass player of our band, he'd been playing these for a while, and he'd always leave it around the dressing room. And I had a really big problem finding a guitar that was comfortable for me to play on tour. Like, when I'm at home, I actually spend most of my time playing, like, I got this Jazzmaster, this 65 Fender Jazzmaster that I love. I've got a Tele that is awesome that I love. I mean, I have, you know, kind of a few guitars that I really kind of stick to when I'm recording or when I'm at home. But for touring, which is what we do most of the time, we're out on the road playing shows, you know, I had carpal tunnel syndrome, and I had to have a surgery on my wrist. I've got this really awesome scar right here. Someone suggested at one time that I'd get a zipper tattooed on it, which would be kind of cool, but I'm not going to do that because I don't have any tattoos. I'm the last guy in a band who doesn't have a tattoo. I actually, you know, I went through a lot of different guitars. I was playing, you know, different Fenders, different Gibsons, you know, SGs, Telecasters, Strats, just to try and find something that could kind of be comfortable for me, I guess, across the different like sort of stuff that I do when we play, because you know we have so many records and we have a lot of different sounds, and it's really hard for me to find something that kind of works for everything. But I need to find something that works for everything, just because my wrist is really sensitive and I have to be really careful how I play because of the injury to my wrist. So I kind of accidentally discovered that this is a really, really comfortable guitar to play. So if anybody out there is having an issue, you know, with playing, I mean, if I stayed home and I were just playing at home and writing and recording, this wouldn't be a problem. But if you got to play every single night for, you know, long periods of time, this is a really nice guitar for that, because, well, for many reasons, it's really well balanced. I really love the neck. It's kind of like this unfinished rosewood neck that I really dig. I just like the way it feels. I don't, you know, it's just sort of a personal thing. I really dig the way it's unfinished feeling, you know. It's nice, you know. A lot of necks are like, there's a lot of lacquer on the back, and it feels like, I don't know, there's something I like about feeling the wood, you know, against my hand when I'm playing. It's just like the frets are really nice. The craftsmanship is really good. It stays very well in tune. That's another big problem, you know, that I've always had with a lot of guitars, you know, locking tuners, and they're just really well made. It's a really good guitar, so just generally speaking, for all the different stuff that I do, it kind of takes care of everything in a very, very good way.
And then currently, down the road, Grady or Tech showed us, that's like your whole boat is just all these same models, then, right?
Yeah, I have to keep it really consistent, again, because of the condition of my wrist. You know, otherwise I'd be switching around and I'd be playing, you know, a Tele in this song, and I'd be playing a, you know, Strat over here on this song, and that's what I'd love to be able to do that. I just can't, you know. Like, it's too taxing on my wrist. It's much better for me to keep everything consistent.
What about string gauge with regards to your wrist and your injury and yourself? What about that?
Well, actually, string gauge was how I injured my wrist to begin with.
Really?
It took me kind of a little while to figure out how I had damaged my wrist so badly, but the way that happened was in the early days of touring, I would break strings a lot. And so I kept playing heavier strings until I stopped breaking them. And I got all the way up to 13ths.
Wow.
And I didn't have a guitar tech. I actually didn't even have a backup guitar at first, back in like 1997, 96, 97, when we first started touring. I didn't even have a backup guitar. So if I broke a string, that meant I had to stop playing and like restring the guitar during the song, or we had to stop and I had to just, you know, wait a minute and put another one on or whatever. And it was such a pain in the ass. So I kept getting heavier strings until I stopped breaking them, and I ended up with like 13s. I did that for a long time, and then when we were lucky enough to have some success and I was able to get a tech and some backups and all that kind of stuff, I got so accustomed to playing such heavy strings that anytime I'd play anybody's guitar that had lighter strings on it, it felt like a toy to me.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like I was playing a bunch of rubber bands. So I got used to those heavy strings, but then I just kept using them for a really long time, and I kind of at certain points was like, maybe I should lighten these up, because I started feeling pain in my wrists about 2001 or two during our Morning View era album. Just kind of gradually got worse, and then it got to a certain point around 2004, 2005, something like that, where I just couldn't even play anymore.
Wow.
So that was a big problem for me. So now I'm just playing nines, and you know, they're pretty light, and I have to play much more lightly too. I have to be careful, you know. It's like, yeah. I'm 36. We started touring when we were 18, so it's like, you know, we've been doing it for a long time, and it's awesome, you know. 18 years of abusing my wrist, though.
What picks are you currently using and prefer?
I've been using these little Tortex picks for a long time. See, says Incubus right there. Says my name, Michael. I haven't changed this in, you know, like 12 years or something like that. I've been using these forever. I just like these small picks. I've
so
always liked
them.
I guess I just kind of have small hands, and I just like feeling close to the string, I guess, because when I'm picking, I use my fingers on my right hand. I use my fingers a lot, with the way that I pick. Like, a lot of times it's kind of like combination of fingers and pick that's hitting the strings, you know. So I always felt like whenever I had a larger pick in my hand, it just felt like it was getting in the way of something I was trying to do. You know, even like strumming like an acoustic or whatever, like, I still just use these.
Grady shows the unusual instrument that I can honestly say I've never seen in any other guitar tech or guitar boat on any of these rig rundowns. Can you talk to us about that instrument?
What, the pipa?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Chinese four-string lute. I don't know how to play it, like sort of the traditional way that it's played. I've actually been told that it's traditionally played by women with finger picks. It's like a, I think they play very fast, like the tremolo style picking. They play with their fingers. And I just picked it up though and started playing. It was actually a gift from Steve Vai. He gave that to me a long time ago. He's a hero of mine, and I've always, you know, loved Steve's music, and, you know, he introduced me to, like, Zappa and, you know, sort of a whole different world of music that I didn't know in my early teens. Lucky enough to be able to play with Steve a bunch of times, and one time I saw the instrument at his house sitting there, and I was like, what is that? And he was like, I don't know, just take it, play with it. And I was like, really? And he was like, just promise me that you'll write something with it. You know, promise me you'll make something cool with it and you can have it. And so I was like, all right, cool. You know, it's kind of like a little challenge.
Yeah.
He gave me, you know, homework from Steve Vai, you know. So I took it home, and at the time we were making the album Morning View. And I wrote a song called Aqueous Transmission. I just took that instrument, it's called the pipa, I just took it back to the house, and that was literally the first thing that came out of me when I sat down and started playing with it.
How do you play it?
I played it like I would play a guitar. I just kind of sat it up. It's like this big teardrop shaped thing, and I just kind of sit it up like this and just play it like that. You know, I don't think it's meant. I mean, I think they do play it like that, but they sort of, I think they pick it like that, or they could possibly play it like that. I should know these things, shouldn't I? I think that's part of the, you know, real beauty of just music making in general, is finding a way to make something out of, you know, just out of pure intuition, you know, like I didn't know anything about the instrument. I just thought, well, here's how I would play it, you know. I would encourage other people to do the same. pick up any object, any inanimate object, or an animate object if you'd like, and try and make music with it in any way that seems fit.
The rest of your guitars are they're mostly in tune with E, right? And then you have a few that are in drop D, or is it just D?
I've got one set, one that's drop D, just drop D. And then I've got a couple that have different capo settings.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've got a capo on them. Drop D, we have a song called Echo, a song called Circles, Blood on the Ground, Orophobia. Not too many, you know, but every once in a while, you know, every once in a while it's nice to, you know, get that little, you know, open thing going on. Yeah, the capo on the second fret is a song called If Not Now, When? And then I've also got a capo on the first fret, Isidore. A lot of times if I'm playing, you know, in regular standard tuning or whatever, I'll just write a song that way, and then it, you know, we'll mess around with it in the studio. If the key doesn't work well for Brandon's vocal range, you know, we'll start messing around with it and try different keys and stuff.
And then moving along to your amp, and duly noted that you've used Marshalls and Fenders in the past, uh-huh. and you're back to the Mesa Boogies. And what do you like so much about the Mesa Boogies that you've returned, I guess, so to speak, home? You're back with them.
Yeah. I just like those smaller amps. They're real tight sounding. They're very responsive. And like I said, for being on the road, it's kind of like, for me, like what does the best job of kind of handling everything. And those amps are really, really versatile. I said ideally before, like, it'd be cool to have, like, different things, you know, different songs, different amps and stuff, but it's a really good sort of in-between that kind of can take care of everything. And that way, it doesn't matter, like, how much we change the set list around, doesn't matter what songs we're playing, I know it's going to work.
The setting's similar on both sides, or how are they set up?
I've got them set up based kind of in a basic, clean, dirty format. The sound that I have that's sort of, I guess, clean is not really very clean, though. It's pretty muddy. And then the overdriven sound, I have a lot of control, though, over how overdriven it is. Sometimes I have it really cranked up. I've also got a compressor that I kind of kick in and out at times when I want more, you know, when I need it to have, you know, more sustain and stuff like that. I'll kick this compressor on, and same with the clean channel as well. I've actually got like an overdrive, like a tone driver pedal that I adjust a lot during the show, depending on the song.
Okay. And it's not sitting out in front of you, so it's kind of hard to remember. But if you could walk us through some, if you can tell us about some of the pedals you're using, or all of them, if you can, people love to know that.
I've been looking down at that thing for so many years. I know the order that every single pedal is in and where it is exactly. So I've got a Memory Man at the beginning of the chain, which is really great for a lot of things, actually. The delay part of it is obviously like really awesome. I mean, you've got tremendous control over, you know, the different properties of the delay, and also when you speed it up and slow it down manually, you get all kinds of really, all the really cool stuff starts happening. But also, and this is a trick that that Brendan O'Brien, producer that we worked with for a long time, you can control the gain. There's like a, you know, there's an input knob, and if you know, it's really good for like kind of, if you want a little bit more, if you want the amp to break up a little more, or you want to clean it up a little bit, you know, the input on that's really good for turning up and down.
Okay.
It's like, it's not really used for that a lot, you know, from what I understand, but it's a really good overdrive if you crank it. It's like a really, it's not used as an overdrive pedal, but, you know, like I've done that a lot in the studio, actually. I've got a pedal called the Dan Electro Real Echo. It's probably my favorite pedal. I've been using it for a real long time, and I've actually never seen it anywhere other than my rig. I've never seen anybody play one. I don't even like that. Dan Electro sent that to me along with another pedal that I really love that I just don't have in my rig, because it's kind of, it's a spring reverb, and if you even like touch it, it just freaks out, and so I can't have it in the rig, but I love it. It's a great pedal. The Real Echo is awesome because it controls the rate of the delay but without messing with the pitch.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, all these people are making dubstep now. It's like this big thing. Everybody's doing dubstep stuff. It's kind of like instant dubstep music without having to with computers, you know. And I've been messing with it for a long, like we have a song called Pistola that came out in our album Crow Left of the Murder. The guitar solo on that is all kind of whacked out with that effect.
Okay.
So that's the only pedal I've seen that does that. At least the way that does it, and it's got this other cool filter that you can increase or decrease, and it kind of dubs the sound out, and you know, makes it really a analog filter, you know, section.
You're not afraid to get down and like play with the pedals during sets like that?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Like I spend half my time down like on the ground messing around. Well, I like having all those pedals. I like having access to it. Like, you know, Ben, our bass player, has been trying to get me like forever at these like rack units and stuff. He's all into the fractal. I like being able to touch it. If something doesn't sound right to me, I like can do something about it, you know. But maybe I'm just a stubborn old like purist or something. Next is a Crybaby wah-wah pedal, which I don't have to say anything about because it's just awesome. I've also got a Hughes and Kettner Rotosphere, which is like a Leslie simulator. Thing's awesome. Love it. Like we have a song called The Warmth where the main sort of sound.
Can I ask you about that? That was a song that I've always listened to for so long. And I'm just like, if I ever get the chance to ask Mike, I'd just love to hear, like, because that opening arpeggio riff where it just like waffles into this.
Yeah, I actually recorded that with that pedal, you know? Like, I was planning to, I remember going to the studio and use a real Leslie to do it, but the thing just sounded awesome, so we used it.
Yeah.
Kept it. And so that's been in the rig ever since I wrote that song. A couple of Boss Super Phasers. Okay. I've just got them both set differently. There's two of them.
How are they set up?
One of them is set at kind of, there's a position one setting and a position two setting. One of them is like very clearly a phaser. The other setting almost sounds more like it's like a more extreme phase. It almost sounds like a flange in a certain way. It's like, it's just a different type of phase. And I have one set at kind of like a mid-range speed and depth, and I've got the other one set really slow, almost like if you were to take a wah-wah pedal and open it and close it really slowly. Okay. That's the way that the other one sounds. So I've got those set differently, and sometimes I mess with the settings on those during the show too. Okay. Like, and I do that a lot. Gonculator, it's a ring modulator that was made by DOD. It's just a ring modulator that really dirties up the sound. I use it on songs like Glass. We have a song called Glass from Science. And a lot of the earlier stuff, I used it a lot on Science. From there, I've got a Boss Digital Delay / Reverb, probably the most important pedal for me if I had to choose like one pedal that I'd need. Just because a lot of this, I use a lot of delays. I'm always having to adjust to the tempo of this song, so I've got all these like little marks, you know, where I'm like, gotta line it up. But it works really well, and the reason why that pedal, I've never been able to people always ask me, like, why don't you just program the delays in so they're always the same rate? And I've actually never really found a delay, though, that when you turn it off, it keeps going. Like, it'll decay away as it normally would. Most other pedals I've ever seen, like, the delay just stops. So that's the reason why I always use that one, because it'll, you know, if I have to switch sounds, it kind of gives it, it's like a cushion, you know? Like, you don't want to just stop. Envelope filter that I just have set differently for different songs. Like, I use it, a lot of the older stuff, like songs from Science. Compressor, sustainer, I use that, make something last longer, or I want the sound to be bigger, you can adjust the tone with it, that's really useful. I got a Holy Grail reverb in there, sorry, that's the one I was missing. I already failed the quiz. You know, I just use them for different things. A lot of times, I use Boss for like a really short slap delay. The Holy Grail, I just like the way it colors the sound. And I use it a lot. I leave it on a lot of the time, and a stereo chorus pedal, but I only use it in mono, so it's not really stereo. I've also got a Phase 90, which I skipped somewhere in there.
Oh yeah, the
EVA. Yeah. My old guitar tech, Larry Malero, awesome guitar tech, huge Van Halen fan, you know. So one time he just stuck it on there and just kept it on there. I'm a huge Van Halen fan too, man. It's like, how can you not be? Guy just, you know, some Michael Jordan of guitarists. Yeah. I've got a tone driver that I use. It's only plugged in through my clean channel though.
Okay.
I don't run that through the dirty amp. That's just controls the overdrive on how overdriven or how clean my clean channel is. Micro Pog actually is a small version. It's just like a multi-octave harmonizer, yeah. You know? And it's really cool though, because it's sensitive enough, like where it picks up individual chords. Individual notes, sorry. Like if you play a major chord, it'll harmonize every note in the chord. During a bunch of the guitar solos, like in Six Sad Little World, I throw it in there. One of our newer songs called Promises. During the guitar solo section of that, I use it there. It's pretty like prominent. And I actually also use it as kind of like a 12-string simulator, I guess. Like I kind of turn it on at like a low level when we play the song Love Hurts. Just kind of imitates a 12-string guitar. Octave pedal. I use that a lot too. Like in the song In the Company of Wolves, one of our newer songs. I use that in there. And those are the, yeah, that's it. That's the whole pedal board.
To clarify, if you haven't already, for the people that you've gone through your pedal board and told us your signal, is for your overdrive, it's very distinct. Like, what's your, you know, do you have a certain pedal that you use, or is it mostly coming from the amp?
The overdriven sounds that I'm using now live are just coming from the Mesa amps.
Okay.
From the high gain, you know, the modern gain setting on the on the combo amps. It's like, you know, they're awesome. You can really get them to sound kind of any way you want. I learned about those amps actually when I was a teenager, and I worked in a recording studio, and a bunch of guys would bring those amps in there and play, and I was like, wow, these are amazing. You know, they sound so good, and they're so heavy, you know, they're such, yeah. Like, they're just these really, like, you know, you look in the back and there's so many tubes in there, you know, it's like, I was just totally wowed by that when I was a kid, you know. That's the kind of thing where you're, you know, you're a kid, you look at an amp, you're like, whoa, look at all those tubes, man. It must be heavy. But I really love the way that those amps sounded, and they sounded great, you know, recorded, you know. So that was like one of those things where, as a young musician, being able to work in a studio and see the way that people use the amps. And the big challenge was, you know, getting the money to buy one of those amps, because those are expensive amplifiers. Yeah. They just are. And I actually, like, you know, I was really fortunate to link up with Tien from Mesa Boogie, like, a long time ago. He was very gracious with letting me use a gear and stuff like that. So very, very thankful for all that.
General group of a pedal, like if it's a delays or a reverbs or something, what would be that one pedal that you need to have?
I'm a big fan of delay effects. I just always have been, and I feel like you can do so much with delays, and you really can use them to color your sound so many ways, you know, or you can set them, you know, with like long delay rates or decay rates and play along with them and stuff. It's just like it's like having accompaniment, you know. If you're playing by yourself, you can kind of play along with it and create all kinds of textures. You can do volume swells, and they fade out in interesting ways, and you can make chords decay out over each other and create, you know, different tonalities and stuff. It's really great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man. This is Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com.